Whether it's slots or live dealers, SpinQuest.com has the fun and action you're looking for with SpinQuest exclusives, blackjack, roulette, baccarat, and even live dice with craps and bubble craps. The games never stop, so you don't have to. And right now, new users get $30 coin packs for just $10. Play now at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and the Game Nashville app. We're live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, and we are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook. Download their app today and use promo code THEGAME. Happy 25th birthday to the Nashville Predators today. 25th birthday, 25th anniversary, whatever word you want to use. Happy 25th to the Nashville Predators. And it is a new era of Nashville Predators hockey. And we've seen that kind of with the philosophy of how the team is going to be run. You know, the transition of power from David Poile to Barry Trotz, the firing of John Hines, the hiring of Andrew Brunette, the trading away of Ryan Johansson. It is a new era of Nashville Predators hockey. And it's not just in, you know, the way the team is going to be run, but it's also the on-the-ice philosophy as well. I mean, we heard it from both Barry Trotz and Andrew Brunette when Andrew Brunette was being introduced as the new head coach of the Nashville Predators that, hey, we want to be fast. We want to play hard. When we have the puck, we want to keep the puck. If we don't have the puck, we want to get the puck. Just a different on-the-ice philosophy from Andrew Brunette. Now, the PDO cast on Sportsnet, which I did not know what PDO was.
Uh-huh.
So thank you to the reporter for clarifying that for me, what PDO means. What exactly is it?
So, and Willie can help me out with it too. But Willie, I'll let you give the metric for what teams should be at and kind of go from there before I kind of divulge.
Yeah, I have to tell you, PDO, I don't even know what the letters stand for. It's the name of a podcast, but it's really an analytics stat. What it is shooting percentage plus save percentage. And basically what it is, if you're shooting, if your PDO is over 100 or 1,000, it depends on where you put the decimal point, right? Your shooting percentage, let's say, is going to be 10 or 11%. If it's going well, your save percentage, a good save percentage, is going to be a little over 90%. So if you put together a high shooting percentage and a high save percentage, you're going to be over 100%. That's good. But it also means not only are you good, but you might be a little lucky. It's hard to sustain that. And if your save percentage and shooting percentage is lower, well under 100%, you're not very good, but you might also be a little bit unlucky. So that's PDO hovering around 100. You know, where teams' PDO is does analytically tell you kind of what should be happening on the ice.
Yeah, it's basically like a puck luck kind of thing. Like if you're effective,
analytics.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay. PDO, puck luck. Got it.
So on PDO is puck luck.
Got it. So the Sportsnet PDO cast was talking about the Nashville Predators, the new era of Nashville Predators, and also they ask a very key question that we have been asking ourselves as well. This was on the Sportsnet PDO cast yesterday.
They could pretty much use help anywhere, right? Because the last time we saw them, and part of this was guys like Kiyoshi and Forsberg were out. But they made that late season push on the back of UC Saros with this like ragtag group of AHLers and young players that John Hines had previously refused to use. And now they're presumably healthier. And we should mention going from John Hines to Andrew Brunette and what we know about him is his tendencies as a coach. It would be interesting to kind of really hand over the keys to him and try to turn this into a more of a fast paced run and gun type of team. And so any of these players essentially would help facilitate that.
Yeah, I mean, sticking with Duchesne and you know, I don't know when he became Tommy, but going into, you know, Novak, Philip Tomasino, obviously Roman Josi, Tyson Berry's on that back end too. Like you're talking about the potential to be higher octane here and to play at a pace that we're not accustomed to the Preds playing at. So I do wonder, you know, DeBrincat would make sense there. I wondered about PLD before it looked like this LA thing was coming into focus. I'm going to continue to wonder about Mark Scheifele. Like, if you're clearing out that much cap space, the next question is, what are you doing with it?
Yeah.
higher octane style of play, mm-hmm. music to my ears. I love it. But that's a very fair question, and I think it's a question we've all been asking ourselves. You're clearing up all of this cap space. You've accumulated all of these draft picks. What are you going to do with them?
Well, it is the question. Mm-hmm. That the guy that leads that podcast is a guy named Dmitry Filipovich. He's a very good follow on Twitter. I do value his opinion, and he goes on in that discussion to hit on a lot of things. Like when you have almost $20 million in cap space, you can use it almost any way you want. For example, look, there's a trade today that happened, and we mentioned right at the end of the day yesterday, Caroline. Remember, yeah. We talked about how the Bruins basically handed two veteran players over to the Blackhawks for nothing, Taylor Hall and Nick Foligno, only because the Blackhawks have enormous amounts of cap space. Now, they now have Connor Bedard. They've got to put something around him now that they've totally tanked. Now they got to come back and get some players somewhere. And the Bruins were up to the gills in salary cap. They were in salary cap jail, basically. So they gave away two players just to clear the cap space. Kevin Hayes today, a very good center, not super good, but a guy that's good, but he's just overpaid. The Flyers basically gave him to the St. Louis Blues at half price for a sixth-round pick. And because he's half price, the Blues take a look and say, hey, we just got a pretty good center. And so we saw Ryan Johansson go to the Avalanche, pretty much given away for half price just to open up cap space. So now that the Predators have all of this cap space, they can make some moves like that if they find what they think is the right player. So to me, that's what to look for. So this PDO podcast, they mentioned DeBrincat. They mentioned Pierre-Luc Dubois. Although there's a lot of rumblings that the Kings are on the verge of trading for Pierre-Luc Dubois. But there's dozens of other names that maybe aren't as big household names that could be available for a song. I'll give you another big one to think about. Who won the Norris Trophy last night in Nashville?
Eric Carlson
makes $11 million, over $11 million, four more years on his deal. He is not a good deal right now for the Sharks. They're trying to get rid of him, even though he just won the Norris Trophy. But he's way too expensive. The Sharks have to clear some cap space. I will bet you that when he gets traded and he's going to get dealt, he's going to a team for half price. Mm. So what would half price of Eric Carlson look like? I think the Predators, they have the space to do almost anything they want. So what's out there for them that they think is the best fit? I think that's the answer to the question. We just don't know what the specific answer is going to be. But I think in philosophical terms, they've got the money. They're looking for the right bargain. And there are bargains out there if you have cap space. And the Predators do.
Well, a question I want you to answer on the other side is if – because they have all this space, cap space. Do you think they're going to make a big move? But what if they don't? Then what? You know, moving forward, if they don't go out there and get a Carlson for half price, which, you know, kind of like what they did with Johansson, they pay half of it, sent them away just to get a salary dump, basically. If they don't get a Carlson, then where do they go from there? And is it more so, are they setting it up for this year or potentially, you know, for the next following year?
That's good stuff. I've got the answer. I'd love to know what the listeners think. What do they want to see? How aggressive should they be? We hit some of this yesterday, but look, the deals are going down. I call it the half price sale. There's a lot of guys out there at bargain prices, I think, but they have big contracts, but you can get them at a discount. If you're willing to play ball, it's just a question of, do you think these are the right guys for the Predators?
We'll get into some of your thoughts on that. Thing moves that the listeners, the Predators fans want to see. Plus, it's not just about trades or guys that you're going to accumulate in free agency, because the Preds have a wealth of cap space. They also got a wealth of picks as well. So what are we looking at in the draft as that comes up this week in Nashville? We'll get into that coming up next, what Elliot Friedman had to say about what the Predators could do in the upcoming draft. We'll get into that. Caroline Willie-DeMace is brought to you by the News End Sportsbook with cash rewards and the easiest, simplest betting experience possible. Betting just got better. So download the Zen Sportsbook app today. 1025, 1063, the game.
David, how deep do you think this draft is? I mean, you've seen a lot of drafts roll through here, but just the quality of this as you go through rounds 1 through 7.
Yeah, this is one of the best drafts, I think, in history. I really believe that. Again, you harken back to 2003 when we had the first draft here in Nashville. And if you look back at the quality of players that were taken in that draft, and including and specifically the players that we got in that draft, I mean, when I go to bed at night and say a little prayer, I'm sort of thinking of the same thing. If we could, 15 and 24 for starters, if we could hit on, you know, two foundation type of players, that's a lot to ask. But, we talk upstairs about, well, do you want to, if it's not quality, we'll trade out of this round or this pick. And at the moment, our scouts, none of that. So we feel really, really, really good. I mean, the top rounds, the top three rounds where we've got six or seven picks. I mean, I think we're in really good shape. And, you know, as we say, you never know where they're going to trade out or trade up or what have you. But we got the ammunition to do it either way. So that's I really feel like we're in a good comfort zone. And when you do the draft too, like, you know, you have cutoffs and certain, we try to put value to the picks in terms of quality, not quantity. And that's what we're working on this morning upstairs.
That was David Poile. He spoke with the media yesterday. He and Barry Trotz both spoke with the media yesterday ahead of the NHL draft. David Poile said, this draft is deep. This draft is good. Mm-hmm. And it is good timing for the Nashville Predators that they have 13 picks in such a deep and such a talented and stacked draft. More picks than any other team in the National Hockey League. So, again, with the amount of cap space that the Predators have, we're asking, okay, so what are you going to do with that cap space? I'll phrase the same question with the upcoming draft. Got 13 draft picks in a stacked draft. I'll take David Poile's word for it. What are you going to do with all those draft picks?
What are you going to do with all
those
picks?
What's the plan, Willie?
I think the plan is to use a lot of the picks. I mean, you keep stocking an already top 10 farm system. I think it's pretty clear the way that those guys progress this year. These are guys that probably aren't even going to play for the Predators very much this year. There's several of them, but down the road that they will. There's going to be a lot of exciting young guys. I think they might have 4 or 5 first-round picks in Milwaukee next year, and that's not counting Tomasino and Evangelista and Parsonen and Glass, you know, guys that are already young players that are just making their mark on the Predators. Does that mean they're going to win big next year? No. So it's really looking at two things at the same time. Is how do I maximize what's out there this year and be competitive? And how do I build for 3 years from now when some of these guys we're going to pick tomorrow and Thursday start to maybe scratch the surface? You also, where they intersect, guys, is we just mentioned Kevin Hayes, a pretty good center who's overpaid. All it took for the Blues to get him was a 6th-round pick, and they get him for half price. Now, the Predators have 13 picks. It would be nothing for them to take 2 or 3 of those picks and use them to get the right guy. Now, who might be out there? To me, it's not a center like Kevin Hayes, but it could be a very useful defenseman that could play more of a Matthias Ekholm kind of role. To me, that's what I'm kind of shopping around for. What's the best deal for that if I'm Barry Trotz, if I'm David Poile, if I'm Andrew Burnett? To me, that's maybe the sweet spot. Maybe a good veteran winger to fill at the right spot. And that's if they don't make the big move, which they would have the capability of doing for a guy like DeBrinket or somebody like that. So I think there's a lot of different options there. Defense is what I'm really looking at. Because you know, they signed Jake Livingstone today to a 2-way deal for the next couple of years. That's a really good move. I don't know if he fits into the plans at the start of next season, but he's a good prospect. But in the meantime, I think you're trying to replace Matthias Ekholm and do it. And I think you might have an opportunity to do that and not have to give up an arm and a leg.
And, you know, that's what the Predators have, the ability to kind of sit back and let things come to them. The Predators have the privilege of having all this cap space and having all of these draft picks to package one or the other or both into making a big swing. Like Barry Trotz said when he first took over the job, and he reiterated at the postseason press conference and reiterated again whenever he introduced Andrew Brunett. Anna has reiterated in his sit-downs on our station with other local media outlets, he is not afraid to take a few big swings. And Elliot Friedman on his podcast, the 32 Thoughts podcast on Sportsnet, had a NHL draft guru on, Jason Pakula, who was a former scout with the Predators and actually was talking with Elliot Friedman on the 32 Thoughts podcast about what the Predators could do with all of these draft picks. This was Elliot Friedman and Jason Pakula.
The other one I'm going to be interested in, they got a lot of picks, is Nashville. Like, I think Trotsky coming in, I have a history in Nashville when I was first there, and we had a lot of they drafted great. Jeff Kelty and those guys have done a fantastic job there. But I think that if they were to look in the rearview mirror, they would say that we took some safer picks over the years than we took good NHL players. I'll go back to the
floor. You always drafted from the West. It was like, okay, best player available from the Western Hockey League.
Well,
that was what we used to always say about Nashville.
Could have been made too, that we never sometimes we didn't draft the best player, but it was like, again, yeah. I go back to that floor scenario. You know, like guys that were going to be steady Eddies, right?
Yeah. Sissons, he'd be one in that group.
Oh, the Dan Ham uses of the world, had great careers. You know, there's a bunch of guys there. And then in that, they did a nice job. Like Pekka Rinne was obviously a ninth round pick. This is going back. I don't want to bore everybody here, but I mean, it took him forever, two contracts, two deals to get to the NHL.
Yeah.
Nashville, keep an eye on them. They got two first. They got, I think they have the most picks in the
13.
Draft. 13 picks in the draft. And I know that Trotsky's indicated to that group that he wants to take more risk, get more aggressive. So that'll be interesting. I'm looking at Perreault in the first round potentially to Nash Vegas. Where are they, 17 or something like that?
Yeah, that's
17, 18. Yeah. So seems like that's in his range.
There you go. That was in the 32 Thoughts podcast. They say keep an eye on Nashville. And that's not the first time that we've heard that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Barry Trotz has even said himself, not afraid to take a big swing. And I'm excited to hear that. I really am, because I understand the idea of playing it safe. Hey, we know that this guy's going to have big return. We know that this guy, you know, he's going to be able to contribute for us. Even if it's in a third or fourth line capacity, we believe in this guy. If you want to take a big risk and it doesn't work out, I'm okay with that, because you at least tried. You at least told us, hey, we're taking a risk here. Maybe it's a high reward, and maybe it's not. I'm okay with that, and I can live with that. I don't know what the Predators are going to do with all these picks and all this cap space, but I'm intrigued to see what Barry Trotz has up his sleeve.
Well, you have to take a risk in this situation. You are a incoming GM with a team that has good pieces. You have one of the best goalies in net, and you're trying to figure out how to, you know, add on an extra dynamic player that sort of fits what you want to do from an offensive side of the ball, obviously from a defensive side of the ball too. I mean, not ball, but puck too as well. But, you know, the way, you know, coach presented it, and even the way that Trotsky presented it, we want to score goals. We want to be a fast-paced hockey team. So, you know, how do you do that? Well, you're going to have to take a swing. And I don't think the Nashville, you know, the Predator fans are going to hold that against you, even if, you know, it may not work out the way you thought it would. It would. At least you went out and tried to make this team this year the best team possible and tried to stick with what you had in your mind. You're in the coach's mind, vision of what this team should look like moving forward. Now, obviously, you can't keep doing that repeatedly.
Right,
but
you can't swing exactly. And miss on everyone.
Absolutely. But yeah. I think the fans are like, listen, they are waiting on someone to, and not to say that Poyle didn't, but I'm saying they're waiting for someone to, like, take a chance on a high-power guy from another team coming here. Take a chance. Pay him the money. Mm-hmm. You know, we want to win. You want to win. So pay him the money, and let's see how it goes.
Well, there was a really good insight there by the former scout of a little bit into David Poyle's philosophy on the draft as opposed to Barry Trotz. And this Barry Trotz was in on that because he was a coach at the time. But they selected a lot of good, solid players with high floors. Colton Sissons and Dan Hamhuis were named as two examples. I think you could probably find a lot more. So they've drafted very well over the years, but they They haven't taken the big swings and had a whole lot, especially at forward, those superstar guys. So this is where you put it all together, and that is, do you package a few of those picks that you have? Because you remember, not only do you have 13 this year, but you have a bunch over the next 2 years, thanks to the Tampa Bay Lightning, right, and the Edmonton Oilers and some of these picks that they gave up. And that's really where I think David Poile is to be given a lot of credit, because he set the table here for Barry Trotz to have all of these things to deal with. But you could trade some of these picks this year and next year to move up from 15 to, let's say, 8, 9, 10, somewhere in there. If there's the right guy you're looking for to take a big swing on, you could probably find a way to move up a few notches if that's what you want to do. They mentioned a kid named Perreault that might be available around where the Predators pick. They pick 15th and 24th. Perreault, his dad, Yannick Perreault, actually used to play for the Predators once upon a time. So that'd be an interesting story. But again, I don't expect anybody to know most of these guys, but it's really the philosophy that's something to watch for in this draft.
For whatever this is worth, The Athletic put out an NHL mock draft, and Perreault is slated to go to Nashville in this Athletic mock draft. So whatever that is worth. 615-737-1025. Willie, did you have a thought?
No, I just it's interesting. If it's Perreault, there'd be a fun story there with his dad having played a year for the Predators. And with Chris Mason, by the way.
All right. See, Mace.
Had a pretty good year. Yeah, Yannick Perreault played for a long time in the league for a bunch of teams, but he had one great year late in his career for Barry Trotz and the Preds, 05-06.
We've got some Predators thoughts in our text line, so we'll get into those coming up next. 615-737-1025 is our phone number if you have a thought on that. And, hey, coming up tomorrow night at 6 p.m., it is draft night in Smashville with Robbie Stanley, Willie Donick, Max Herz, and Chase McCabe, all live from Bridgestone Arena for the 2023 NHL Draft. NHL Draft coverage is brought to you by International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, Local 429, Electronic Express, Oil Fire Whiskey, and Farm Bureau Health Plans. Willie, I know you've got some good stuff in store for this show tomorrow night.
Oh, it's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to be all over this. We'll be talking about the picks that go down, but we'll also be, you know, filling in a lot of these things that, you know, the three of us have been kicking around the last few days about the roster in general, right? We'll talk about the defensive depth chart. We'll talk about what to do at forward. We'll talk about the center position now that Ryan Johansson isn't there. So it's going to be a Predsapalooza, if you will, because to put all these things together, it's going to be really exciting. This entire next few weeks is really going to be something to watch to see what Barry Trotz has up his sleeve.
We love a Predsapalooza, and that will be must-listen radio tomorrow coming up after Stillman and Company. We'll get into your thoughts coming up next, 1025-1063, The Game.
4 Ted Lindsay Awards, 3 Hart Trophies. I know those aren't the trophies you're necessarily chasing, but do you allow yourself any perspective in the company that you are putting yourself in?
It's not lost on me. You know, I know that there's only a select few guys that have done that. You know, it's special to put your name on the Hart Trophy and the Ted Lindsay and all that stuff. And you know, we'll get to the big one eventually. But you know, it's a special night for me and my family, and just happy to be here in Nashville.
That was Connor McDavid at the NHL Awards last night, just absolutely cleaning up. I mean, Connor McDavid at the NHL Awards, it's like Beyonce at the Grammys.
Bring
them all home. You're going to need
and the winner is.
A wheelbarrow
and the winner is.
For
and
all
the
your
winner
trophies.
Is. It's like, give them all the trophies. Give them everything.
Give them everything. Exactly. Pay the man.
Not the most charismatic personality, but one amazing player. And also, let's salute the one guy that had him fifth on the MVP ballot. Yeah, nice job, everybody.
Is that the same guy who didn't put Roman Josi as a Norris Trophy finalist last year?
It's not. It's not. It would make it much better. To kick him out of there. Yeah.
But shout out to the Nashville Predators. Uh-huh. I wasn't able to go to the NHL Awards last night, but I did have a lot of FOMO. I heard that they put on a great show, that it was an entertaining product, that everybody had a lot of fun. So shout out to the Predators for just
Twas a great time.
Did you have a good time?
It was a good time. I'm not a huge fan of...
Were you reporting?
A little bit. I was not a huge fan of some of the skit-esque things a little bit. I don't know. But I did like... The one thing I liked was the bubble hockey. I can appreciate that. Knox playing against... I think he's playing with Cale Makar. Them going up against his dad, I think. So, but there were a couple of, like, weird things, too. Like, him, I think it was Knox talking to McDavid up on like this miniature stage in the middle of the crowd or on like the edge. But it was a good little performance, and they brought all the guys out to the pods, and we got to hear some good things. Heard a lot of interesting tidbits from Erik Karlsson, though, so in terms of maybe his future.
And
before he joined us to speak, he was actually on FaceTime with members of the Sharks ownership a little bit. So it was more like the, hey, like, congrats. And he just kept nodding his head like, yeah, I just won this award. But he's probably not going to be there for that much longer. So there was some interesting stuff going on behind the scenes.
That is kind of awkward to, you know, be all excited about your award, but also in the back of your mind thinking,
I'm not going to be here.
I don't want you. Get me the hell out of here.
Honestly, he was very forthcoming, and I can really appreciate that from a player. So nice. Good for him.
Well, good. I'm glad you had a good experience, Nick.
Yeah.
We have some Predators thoughts in the text line, so unless we have thoughts.
Let's go to the text lines.
Let's hear from the people.
Let's get to the phones. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025 is our phone number if you have a thought. One texter texts in and says, I don't mind taking some draft risks so long as the Preds don't get carried away like John Robinson did with the Titans. I think then, this is just my perspective. The difference there is John Robinson made some what I thought were not very smart moves, but John Robinson made some risky moves because the Titans were in a winning championship window. I didn't think that the Titans needed a Julio Jones to put them over the edge to win a Super Bowl, but that was John Robinson's thinking, was we are just one elite player away from getting past the Bills and the Chiefs and the Bengals of the NFL. So that's – the Predators aren't in that position to, okay, we're just one player away from a Stanley Cup. No. The Predators, if they would take a risk or take a big swing – I think it would be either in the draft or for a player like a Pierre-Luc Dubois.
Right. And Pierre-Luc Dubois, the proposed deal that the Kings are putting together, and it's not finalized yet, but some of the names. Remember there was that proposed trade that Greg Wyshynski had for UC Saros. A couple of those guys were in there, plus a few more. So it looks like it's a deal that the Jets would be pretty happy with. You know, for the Predators to give up that much, I'm not sure if it'd be worth it for Pierre-Luc Dubois.
Right.
But he's the kind of guy. I think what you've got in Barry Trotz is when he says patience, he's looking at, okay, I've got a lot of assets here. When the right deal comes along, I don't know if it's going to be today, tomorrow at the draft, during the free agency period in July, or maybe even next year. If I've got good assets and I've got cap space, when the right deal happens, I'm ready to make that deal. And in the meantime, the patience is, let's see what we have in Juuso Parsonen, Luke Evangelista, Phil Tomasino, Tommy Novak, Cody Glass, young players that, you know, gave you some things to get excited about last year. Where does that go? Mm-hmm. So you assess, you're patient, and then you pounce when you have the opportunity. There's teams that would like to do that can't, because A, they don't have a ton of draft picks, and B, they don't have a lot of cap space.
And also might be in a different circumstance than the Predators.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Like it's more of a win now kind of window.
Win
now.
We've
got to hurry up and make 100%. A move. Right, right.
100%.
One texter says, Trotz needs to weaponize the cap space and offer an RFA like Zegras or Terry in offer sheet. Your thoughts on that? Nick is shaking his head.
Yeah. The offer sheet is an interesting avenue here because it's kind of a taboo by a lot of GMs. And this is, again, where we're going to find out in the coming years if Barry Trotz is like a lot of GMs or not. Like David Poile, you ask him about the offer sheets, he doesn't like offer sheets. See, he was dealing with it one time when the Flyers tried to poach his best player, Shea Weber, with an enormous offer sheet, and the Predators matched it. So that's what happens most of the time. If you weaponize whatever you want to weaponize, all you're doing is you're doing the deal for the other team. And there are teams that you can exploit with offer sheets. But, you know, this texter is using the Ducks as his example. So let's just take Trevor Zegras, right? A really good young player who's a restricted free agent. If you could put together a great offer sheet for him, he could sign it. The Ducks, because of where they are, they have tons of cap space. they would just say, thanks a lot, guys, for doing the negotiation. Saved us a lot of hours. Match. See you later. Trevor Zegras is still us. So I think you're looking at something that is an interesting avenue, but it's not. But look at teams that are up against the cap. Those are the teams that would have trouble matching offer sheets. For example, let me just throw a crazy one out there. The Predators traded Tanner Jeannot to the Lightning for 5 draft picks and Cal Foote, who we don't even know if they're going to bring back or not. But they've got 5 draft picks. What if you took a couple of those draft picks and made an offer sheet to Tanner Jeannot? You could get Tanner Jeannot back by giving back the Lightning a couple of draft picks because the Lightning may not be able to match the offer sheet because they don't have any room under the cap. That would be really intriguing to me. I don't know if they'll think about it, but to me, that's the type of deal you're looking at with an offer sheet. You challenge a team that doesn't have much cap space to make a tough decision with an offer sheet.
Nick, you are shaking your head. Why?
I don't think, and I think Willie has a really good point with it. It's if you are interested in doing that, it's got to be the right fit too. Now with Zegras, it could be, but it's like a really small line of, oh, he could probably sign a multi-year deal because it's not going to be a bridge deal. It's going to be a multi-year deal. If the Predators decided to go for him, you also have to think of if you do want to give him an offer sheet and you want to match it, or if they take the compensation for it. The compensation is your future in draft picks. Mm-hmm. I'm not interested in that. That's why Poile shies away from it, because you have to give up so much more than just money here. You're giving up currency for your future. That's why I don't like it.
Yeah, and also you get on the list, not the good list, with your fellow GMs. They don't like it when you do that. Don't mess with my guys. I won't mess with your guys. That's what most of them think.
Right, exactly.
Trotsky come and try to sit at the dinner table with them. Deceit's taken. Yeah. Somebody's sitting here. Who? Nobody's. Yeah. No, somebody's sitting here.
I'm new to the party. I'm about to shake
it's
everything.
It's
kind of
like
up.
When Forrest Gump got on there, and then Bubba was the only guy who would let him sit on the bus. Uh-huh. Remember, everybody was like, deceit's taken.
And Nick, I think you point on the biggest thing here is it's got to be the right guy. Like one texter says, I think with the picks, maybe try to bundle some and go get the big guy center. I think that's an option. But it's got to be the right guy, because you're not going to package up all these picks just to go get a guy, just to go get a guy that can fill in that hole. It needs to be the right decision. Like if you come across a bunch of money, you're not going to go buy a golden toilet seat just because you can. Yeah. And that's why the Predators are not going to
fit your house.
Right, exactly. You got to take care of other things first. If the Predators are able to find a deal for a guy that they think is the guy, then great, wonderful. You have the currency to be able to make that move, but you are not going to be pressured to be, you know, pressured into a move that you don't necessarily want to make, or you might think, well, I mean, I hope this is the guy. We'll keep our fingers crossed that it's the guy. You have the ability to be able to sit back and find the right guy. Is that guy going to come along this year? Maybe, maybe not, but we'll see. Barry Trotz said, hey, be patient with us.
Well, they got a lot of money and a lot of picks, so. They got a lot of opportunities to get the right guy or right guys
right.
Yep.
For this team.
So let me tell you guys this, because this is why I'm thinking it. So if you've got a guy that's an RFA, and let's say you go, all right, I want to give you an offer sheet. I'll make this really quick, because this is basically the most that you could give up. So let's say you want to offer a guy, you know, $8.5 million, okay? And then you get compensated for it. Well, the compensation for that is 2 first-round picks, 1 second, and 1 third. And now the Predators, do they have that? Yes. But do they want to necessarily use it on one player for that much money, where we just traded away a guy that just got paid $8 million, now we're retaining half of it, and he's not here anymore? You know, I think of the Moneyball term when they were talking about David Justice, and he's like, no, man, the Yankees are paying half your salary. I'm not. That's what they think of you.
Right.
And so that's kind of what you get yourself into with some of these trades now. So Johansson has to prove himself. But in general, I'm just letting you guys know that this is what it's going to take to match that, and that's what the compensation would be in that scenario. There's a lot of other ones, too.
It better be a Connor McDavid type of player, just, if I'm giving up offer that much.
One of the Connors.
Yeah. Yeah, it's got to be a great player. You got to decide, would you trade that player for those picks? That's what it comes down to. And, again, just for people that just to clarify, if you don't know what the offer sheet, it's for a restricted free agent. And the team that has the restricted rights could match the offer. But if you let them sign with the new team, that's the compensation that Nick is talking about. A higher the salary, the more the draft pick compensation is.
Coming up next, LSU wins the College World Series. And I am not going to take a victory lap. Done enough of that. But I do feel the need to defend my team a little bit. And we'll get into that coming up next. Caroline Willie, D-Mace, 1025, 1063, the game.
Two outs, runner at first. The 0-2 pitch. Swing and a miss! And all is right in the world. Tigers win! Tigers win! The national championship is headed back to Baton Rouge. The dog pile begins left of the mound. A promise made and a promise kept by Tiger head coach Jay Johnson just over 2 years ago. Said, I'm here to get LSU to Omaha and back on top of the college baseball world. And after an 18-4 victory here tonight, he has done just that.
Just music to my ears. LSU wins the College World Series for the first time since 2009. Seventh national title for my Tigers, and I am awfully proud. Mm-hmm. And I said, even before the season started, I said, with this team, the amount of firepower that this team has, anything short of a national championship is really a disappointment, honestly. Because if they hadn't, I would have looked at this team like the best that never was. The best pitcher in America, the best player in America, the number one transfer portal class in America, the number one recruiting class in America. There was just too much juice on this team to not win a national championship. So it was just chef's kiss that they were able to close it out last night. But I do feel the need to defend my team a little bit because all season long, there is this growing sentiment that only got bigger as LSU got to Omaha and continued winning in Omaha, that LSU bought their national championship, that LSU bought their team. I even heard Jared talking about it on his show last week, that he was cheering for Tennessee because he didn't like that LSU bought their team. I don't really know where this sentiment came from because it's actually pretty incorrect. LSU only had 11 transfers on their team this year. Mm-hmm. Five of them didn't really play, didn't really contribute to the national championship. And of the six players that did contribute, two of them transferred in from community colleges. So I don't really know if that's, you know, you're throwing out the big dough to get those guys from junior colleges. And that's no disrespect to JUCO guys, but they're just not, they don't bring the same amount of juice as maybe transfers from other programs. Mm-hmm. So that leaves four. One of them transferred in from Arizona with Jay Johnson, so that kind of makes sense. You know, a player follows his coach. Mm-hmm. And that leaves three. Paul Skeens, Thatcher Hurd, and Tommy White. Paul Skeens had to transfer. He talked about it ad nauseum when he decided to enter the transfer portal. If he stayed at the Air Force Academy for one more year, then he would have had to have served. Mm-hmm. He said that he wanted to pursue a professional baseball career and didn't want to be plucked away from that career to go serve, that he wanted to do it on his own terms. So he had no choice but to leave the Air Force Academy. So if you want to make the argument that with the remaining two transfers of Tommy White and Thatcher Hurd, that LSU, quote-unquote, bought those players, then fine. Do it. That's two players on a 40-ish man roster. I would be naive to say that money had nothing to do with it. Of course money had something to do with it. Money and NIL has something to do with most transfers out there at every other school in America. I don't know why LSU is any different. It's not like LSU has some resources that every other school in the country doesn't have. If Tennessee wants to buy their players like how they're accusing LSU to buy them, then by all means, go do it. They've got the resources, as does Southern Cal, as does Kentucky, as does Florida, as does every other big-time program in America. Texas has all the resources in the world to, quote-unquote, go buy their team if they would really like to. So, of course, money has something to do with it. But this sentiment that LSU bought that national championship is ridiculous. The best player in the country, the player that's likely going to go number one overall in the draft, has been at LSU for the entirety of his career. He wasn't bought to go to LSU. He just wanted to go to LSU and Dylan Cruz. So enough of this. Well, if we had more money, we could do it too. You can. You absolutely can do it. Newsflash, it's legal. And that's not how LSU built a national championship team.
Whiny, whiny, whiny. Not you, Caroline.
A little sensitive.
Not you, Caroline.
She's getting a little sensitive.
No,
about
but
it.
She's
I'm
right.
Sick of it.
She is right.
It's only, people, no, I agree. I agree.
Stop whining, okay? I don't know. She's right. Where does this sort of, oh, you bought it? Okay, if they did, it's legal to buy one. If indeed
if
they
we
went
did,
out.
It works.
Exactly. If indeed,
ROI on 10.
If indeed you did give all these guys NIL deals, then you did nothing that every other university out there can't do themselves. They can do the same exact thing. They could go out and give NIL to just about anybody they want to if they have the people that are going to sort of give that or help with that, facilitate that in regards to the funds. So this is not 1980 where you're paying guys under the table anymore. Then if that was the case, then I could say, okay, yeah, they're right. You did it illegally. But this is legal. They went out and they did.
I don't think it's a rule.
Even if they did pay them. Because we don't know if they got NIL deals or not. But let's just assume they did. They're doing the same thing that other colleges are doing. Giving out NIL deals.
There were really only two transfers that really had
those are just people that's mad, Caroline.
Look, you can't the rule hasn't been in long enough for you to really buy a championship. I think the days of buying players are just beginning here, but they do have more resources than a lot of teams. There's about 20 schools that draw the kind of self-sufficient kind of revenue that they could use just from the revenue they get to go and get some players. But so I think it's unfair to say they bought a championship, but I do think that they're in a position to where they can exploit these new rules more than a lot, and I think LSU and Tennessee are at the forefront of it right now.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there are certain teams that have more resources than others, but
hey.
That's the world we live in.
Just because you have the resources doesn't mean that it's going to work. You got to have a good coach. Those players got to be able to step up in big moments. You have to have a team concept going out there. If you don't have that, I don't care who you pay. You're not going to win championships. So let's give it up for the LSU Tigers winning the national championship in baseball.
Go
give it up to them.
Tigers. That's going to do it for us today. We'll be back tomorrow at 11 a.m. We will be at Barrel House at Bridgestone Arena for the NHL Draft. Stillman & Company's up next.
Be love and love on your people. Peace.
Whether it's slots or live dealers, SpinQuest.com has the fun and action you're looking for with SpinQuest exclusives, blackjack, roulette, baccarat, and even live dice with craps and bubble craps. The games never stop, so you don't have to. And right now, new users get $30 coin packs for just $10. Play now at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.